At the end of that, do you want to just leave it hanging?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just heard you go to the G, so I was like, maybe I better check. Okay.
Test.
All right, good morning. Stay on your feet if you would. Let's bless the Lord together. Amen. Here we go.
Chasing the highlights, trying to satisfy my
Mercy is great. Lord, you've always been faithful, Lord. You've always been there, Lord, to drag us out of the muck and the mire. No matter, Lord, where we may find ourselves, no matter the stuff, Lord, that we may go through day in and day out, Lord, you are always there for us. You're always reaching out your hands. Your arms are always open wide. Your mercy is mighty day after day and age after age. So, Lord, be with us today, Lord, as we worship you. Be with our hearts today. Lord, we all have different stuff. We all come from different backgrounds today. Lord, you know everything there is to know about us. So, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that we need today, whatever it is, Lord, that we need to give to you, whatever it is, Lord, that we need from you today, doesn't matter, Lord, you're more than enough. So, Lord, you made this day. This is the day you made. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in it no matter our circumstance, no matter where we find ourselves today. As we continue to worship, you're more than welcome to be standing. You can be seated where you are, kneel where you are. You're welcome to come to the front and kneel and pray. Come and pray with the prayer team today. Whatever you need to do in the Lord's presence today, as we just continue to lift him up in this place.
is the day you made, so I will lift my voice and give you
Lord, in our busy lives, Lord, to make room for you. Lord, help us to lay down our lives, Lord, lay down our cares and our burdens, Lord, beside you, in front of you today. Lord, we may be free. So, Lord, have your way among us. We love you. We honor you. We ask it all in your mighty name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Glad to be here. Glad to be here. There is joy in the Lord's presence. Amen. I would like to welcome our first time visitor here at Flash. Sorry. At Green Valley Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Philippe, Connection Group Pastor. So we want to connect with you. We want to reach out. We want to follow up with our new time, first time visitor. So if this morning is your first time at any service with us, I would like you to fill out this part of our bulletin, or you can use the QR code. It's going to be on the screen in a little bit. So you can use both to fill them up, and we can follow up with you. We can connect you to a small group and make you feel like part of this family. And also for this week, our deacon of the week will be Brother Will Penland. So if you need anything, if anything should arise, you can reach out to the church office. You're going to get hold of him, and he will be able to help you. I will ask ushers to come forward, please, as we get ready to take our offering. Would you pray with me? What do we have that we haven't received from you, oh Lord? And this morning we want, with a grateful heart, give back what you have given us. I pray, Lord, that your blessing may be on these offerings as we give to you. Bless your church. I pray for the first time visitor here this morning, Lord, would you meet them where they are and lead them where you want them to be? And for our church members, would you provide to our need, no matter what need that might be, spiritual need, material need, emotional need. Lord, meet us where we are and lead us where you want us to be for your name's sake. We love you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Isaiah 26:3, the Bible promises that God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, who trust in you, who are fixed and focused upon him. These words are so true. I know from personal experience, whatever you're going through, read and meditate on Isaiah 26:3, it will help you. With perfect peace.
Thank you, Ronnie. That is your name, isn't it? He and I have a inside joke. It's a pastor joke, so you might not have heard it. Kaylin, you want to tell us about what's going on?
Good morning, everybody.
I think it is.
I think so. Anybody remember Praise in the Park when we went down to Felix Square and we did worship with multiple churches? Well, this year it's going to be a little different. It's actually going to be here this year because we're working on getting some equipment stuff. So we're going to be here on the 7th. So that's a Sunday afternoon at 6 o'clock. So if you show up at Felix Street, ain't nobody going to be there. So here on the 7th at 6 o'clock.
And
hope
you,
to see you.
You get a baby free if you come. So
she'll give waves at least. Yeah.
Isn't she cute? Amen. Amen. Thank you. So instead of calling it Praise in the Park, let's call it Park and Praise. Amen.
Yes.
So we're going to park and come in and praise. All right. Good to see you today. Stand to your feet, turn to your neighbor and tell them they look good. All right. Morning. Morning, Scott. Morning. Morning. All right. Would you do us a favor? Would you read this? Take a look at it. That saves a lot of time if you just look at this. We have equipped classes. We had 37 people sign up. I don't know how many. Philippe, how many have actually attended the classes? More than 37. So our equipped classes, if you'd like to get to be a part of a group or you want to do a short little stint of growth and maybe a particular, so on and so forth, you can do that. Also, we're going to be working on making food boxes. And we're going to make one here, put it in our parking lot area, And then we're going to make probably about 10 of them all together. And we're going to fill them with food and whatever we can to help people so that 24/7, 365. You know, this church building's locked all the time. Did you know that? Yeah. So that means they can't get in here. Okay? And you're here how many times? How many hours? So the bottom line is that we're going to take the church to the people. We're going to give people the truth of Jesus Christ and some food. And if water would help them, we'd do water, whatever. But we're gonna make these boxes, and they're gonna be just uniform, and people will know who's doing it, and they'll know why, because they're going to be called Christ Covered. And you're going to be able to go anytime you want to. So how many of you have trouble sleeping? Okay, so you're on my team. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I want you to go fill a box. Okay? Do something better than, you know, raid the refrigerator, all right? Or watch some stupid show on whatever. But, you know, again, just to make Jesus Christ known, amen? Do you know that there are 34% less people in church than in 2020? 34% less. Where'd they go? They didn't die. They're in bed. They're at Bedspring Baptist Church, Pillow Haven Christian Fellowship. But, you know, the fact is that there's an old song that says people need the Lord. Somebody should rework that and make it a modern tune, and we could use those words. People need the Lord. Let me give you a heads up, okay? Here's a prelude to Jesus working in your life. We're going to change the chairs, okay? So I want you to get your anxiety medicine, whatever you got. You know, I don't know what y'all do, but I know you probably do something. And bottom line is get ready, because we're going to change the chairs. Now, how many of you are already stressed out about that? Okay. Somebody please take Tammy out for tea next Sunday, okay? Get her chamomile or whatever it is. Dr. Pepper. There you go. Diet Dr. Pepper. Okay, there you go. Well, maybe you ought to go, you know, full steam this time. You know, get the whole Dr. Pepper. Anyway, I just want you to know, because we're going to rearrange it so that we can have 5 ushers, and that 5 ushers can actually serve the church and serve the ministry. Did you guys hear Ron Ramsey's own obituary, as in eulogy? Did you hear it? What was he proud of doing? Ushering, greeting, and doing discipleship. Discipling people. I mean, when he sat to write down what he wanted you to know when he was no longer going to be here anymore, that's what he wrote. I think that's beautiful. And so we're going to increase the tribe of ushers, greeters, welcome center, so on and so forth, to be able to actually make this church more effective and more beneficial, and to give people a place to serve. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, today we're going to talk about revival. And it's not just today. We're going to talk about it a couple Sundays. And when you hear the word revival, what do you think of? The 70s, okay? Yeah, I mean, hey, the Jesus movement is directly related to my coming to Christ. Okay, because that's the only reason Boulder ever let Jesus in there. It was Jesus. Okay, so what do you think of? Say again? Billy Graham. So, crusade revival. Crusade revival, yeah. Evangelist, yeah. Tents. Yeah. Anybody ever been to church in a tent? Yeah. Revival in the Bible is very clear. Very clear. The actual improvement of people's lives. And so I like using these Bible Project fellas, and I want to be able to refer to this. Let me get to the red. There we go. So this is the book of Jonah. What is the book of Jonah all about? Yeah. So the book of Jonah is all about God actually establishing his kingdom. And so that's literally every day for us. Every one of us is a kingdom builder. We are all waiting for our king. We are all going to the kingdom of God. But it is established on earth. And so, from the beginning, God has been working to establish his kingdom. Now, by the way, did any of you raise kids? Yeah, are they perfect? Does that make you a sucky parent? No. So don't be worrying, don't be freaking out about Christians that necessarily don't do everything they should, or the Israelites who don't do everything they should. It doesn't mean that God hasn't chosen them. It doesn't mean that God isn't working. It doesn't mean that God isn't going to use them. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. Yeah. So it's all about establishing the kingdom. Now, I'm not getting into all of it, but the bottom line is that the people wanted kings. And the people always want stuff that's not good for them. Amen? Gummy bears, you know, those are not good for you. Meringue, chocolate pie, you know. These are all the things I struggle with. So I want you to understand the people wanted kings, and so they got kings. What's the trouble with a king? Yeah. Absolute power does what? Absolutely. So it's important for you and I to understand this. And so God put alongside the kings, he put prophets to speak on God's behalf. Now, in this case, we have Jonah, who is the subversive, the rebellious prophet, who hates that God loves people he hates. Amen? Anybody have trouble with that? So Jonah is actually called to go and to tell the Ninevites to repent. He's called to go to Nineveh. Now, what's the trouble with Jonah going to Nineveh? He hates them. He hates them. And he knows that God is planning on doing something good on them. And I don't know if you know this or not. This is one of the big surprises to me. When I became a Christian, I became a pastor. I thought that the people I'd be pastoring would want to actually give the gospel to people. But I found out, not so. Okay, case in point, one of the first guys I ever led to Christ in Gower, Missouri. One of my members looked at me and said, "Does he have an earring in his ear?" And I said, "Does your wife have earrings in her ears?" To which he said, "You're rebellious." I said, "No, you asked me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. Here's the facts. I don't care. I could care less. Beard, no beard. Long hair, short hair. Dress bright, dress dull. What's the difference? You go all over the world and you see all kinds of cultures, all kinds of foods. I remember one time when I was up in Canada and I went into different buildings. Each building smelled like the people that were in it. So the people from India, what did they smell like?
Curry.
People from Italy? Garlic. I mean, it's. I don't know if you've ever been up there, Mississauga. That's where they bring all the people in from all over. But anyway, so the bottom line is that Jonah doesn't want to go there. And so he runs. You ever try to run from God? Sure you have. Sure you have. Okay? How successful are you at doing that? Yeah. So Jonah runs from God because he doesn't want to do this. And so God is everywhere Jonah goes. everywhere Jonah goes. Okay, now listen to me. Evolution is running the day. Running. I didn't say running. Running. It is running, but it's running the day. So how's it going? We got $32 trillion in debt. We got stores that can't function because everybody's stealing everything. Did you hear that Walmart quit 4 stores in Chicago? Do you know why? It wasn't because the people are stealing. They expected that. The employees are stealing. You see? We're rotting from the inside. Rotting from the inside. So it's important to understand he didn't want to do anything. So he runs. And what's really funny to me is that he's not willing to do what God wants, but these unbelieving sailors are. And they actually repent. And he's honest with them and tells them, I'm running from God. And so they throw him over. Now, here's where you're going to have trouble. Because if you don't believe the supernatural can happen, you're going to have trouble here. And if all you believe in is the natural, I feel sorry for you, honestly. Because you don't know the real meaning of life. The spiritual is the only thing that solves us. Yes. If God spoke all this into existence, and by the way, he did. Okay, because if you look at the actual foundation of all material, it has a code. Where do codes come from? Did you guys eat your Wheaties today or what? You know what I mean? You had some donuts before you came? It comes from a code maker. And it's really easy. If you fly over a beach and there's a bunch of letters all scratched out in the beach, nobody goes, man, look what the ocean did. Or look what the animals did. They came over here and made a message. Everybody knows that that message came from a message maker. And so I want you to understand, here's these sailors, and they know that they're having trouble with the creator of weather, which, by the way, what do we call it when the weather does a bad thing? An act of, it's in the insurance papers, okay? They don't like acts of God. It's bad for business. But here's the deal. So he throws him over, and a fish, what? Swallows him. Yeah. If you hadn't experienced and you hadn't seen it, you wouldn't even believe that a baby could be born the way they are. And you ladies that have actually done it, you couldn't believe what was happening. Right? Amen? So I just want you to understand that's what's going on here. And Jonah has to repent because he can't go and tell people something that he doesn't have himself. And I want you to understand something. None of us comes to God without repentance. None of us come to God without repentance. Does anybody have a dollar bill or a $5 bill or a $20 bill? Anybody got one? Yeah. Can I see it? I won't. I'll give it back to you. Okay, here we go. All right. Let me go get that. $5. You don't have a 20 or 50? No. Thank you, Jane. I'll give it back to you, I promise. Preachers taking people's monies, you know? Hard to believe, huh? Anyway, right on this bill, what does it say? Well, first of all, it says Federal Reserve Note, which, by the way, this ain't money. Right. Okay? My glasses are more money than this is. Yeah. But anyway, it says right here, in God we trust. Is that true? I just want you to know the reason they put that on there is because God saved the world. God saved the world. And that's the reason that they put the World War II memorial in the mall. Thank you. Do you know where the mall in Washington, D.C. is? There is Lincoln's Memorial, Washington's Monument, and what's next? The Capitol Building. The White House is on the side. So is Jefferson. But between Lincoln and Washington, what'd they put? The World War II Memorial. Why? One was the father of our independence. The other was the preserver of our independence. And the World War II people were the keepers of independence. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to help you understand something. It is so important for you and I to understand. Nobody can come to God without recognizing God. And that means that we have to repent. Repent. In Jonah, it says, then the word of the Lord, chapter 3, came to Jonah the second time. What happened to the first time? Yeah. Can you hear me now? Same thing happened to Peter. What did Peter do? He denied Jesus three times. He told him in advance he was going to do it. Your parents told you things. You didn't listen. And the bottom line is that he had to actually come to terms. And so the Lord spoke to him a second time. By the way, the Lord is very gracious. And don't interpret his graciousness as a license to do what you want to do. Just because he's patient doesn't mean he isn't working. Or that he won't hold you accountable. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against the message that I tell you. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey breadth. So how many miles can you walk in a day? Now remember, you got sandals, and you have to actually fix your food. Okay, can't pull up to a drive-up and say, give me a hamburger. Okay, but understand that this is a big city. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. He called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. This is the part he hated. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Are you beginning to see the definition of revival? The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. What's he doing? He's repenting. He's truly grieved. I've messed up in my life. I've had to apologize to people, particularly to people that are the closest to me. I actually went and apologized to my dad because I left him in Leadville, Colorado in the middle of the night because I didn't know what to do. He wasn't very nice, you know. Work for your dad, it's hard. Hello? Work for your dad is hard. And the fact is that I shouldn't have done that. And I apologized to my dad in Denton, Texas, a few years later when I really came to terms with myself. I didn't say, Dad, I'm sorry, but, okay. I just said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I left him a note that was mostly true, but that ain't the point, is it? We're supposed to tell the truth in love. That was not loving. But I sure had an interesting night. You hitchhike across the mountains overnight, it's kind of interesting. There's nothing but stoners out there all night long. But I had to apologize to my dad. I want you to understand, this king is actually repenting. Okay? There's only one king. His name's Jesus. And everyone needs to surrender to the king. Surrender to the king. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, King of Nineveh, which is a subordinate of the King of Kings, is repenting, and all the people. He issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Did you get that? Even the animals are going to be a part of the fast. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. I don't know if you know it or not, but it appears to me that the walls of protection are being brought down for the United States. We have been blessed for a long time. And we think it's because we're so great, but the fact is that we're not great because we're not good. And that's what Louis de Tocqueville said when he came to study the United States. America's great because America's good. If America ever ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. That was a great friend to George Washington. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. That's called revival. The people repented. There's some other moments of revival, rather coming from a prophet that came from a king. Any one of you is in charge of something. A household, a business, a community, a group, something. Every one of you is in charge of something. And the question is, what are you going to do with what you're in charge with? And if you read through the kings, you're going to see in the kings, they are all basically evaluated like this. And they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Or they did what? They did good, or they did righteous. They were righteous in the eyes of the Lord. A king has a choice. So two examples of actual wonderful kings. One is Hezekiah, and the other is Josiah. Good King Hezekiah. One of the first things I ever actually learned as a preacher boy going to college, I learned about the kings. And they're all pretty bad. They don't do very well. But Hezekiah and Josiah both brought reform to their people and to their country. And this is what it says. 2 Kings, chapter 23. This is Josiah. Then the king, Josiah, went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people of the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant. What's the book of the covenant? It's the Bible. Up until that time, it is the Bible. So they read the Bible. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to what? To the covenant. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah. These are idols. These are anti-God. And all the starry hosts. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. I'd kind of liken it to this. We go to all the massage parlors that are actually doing prostitution, and we all shut them down. Some of you elder ladies, all you got to do is show up and say, no more. You want to know how you can tell that there's prostitution going on in a massage parlor? The cars are only there for 15 to 20 minutes. There's lots of things that you can actually see. You know how I learned that? I sat in here with law enforcement and learned all about sex trafficking that's happening here in our city, among our people. You know, America get real serious and shut off pornography. You might criticize the Cubans, but they have the ability, and they actually shut off pornography. Now, they still get it in a lot of ways, but the bottom line is it's hard to get. We act like it's free speech. It's filth and trash, destroying people all over the place, ruining marriages and homes. We wouldn't have to do all this enforcement if we would what? Get rid of the impetus. And so they actually threw out all of the idolatrous stuff. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon, to the constellations, to all the starry hosts. They took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside of Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder, scattered the dust all over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine, what?
Prostitutes.
Look, sex is always somewhere in there because it's always about the flesh. It's always about the flesh. This is not about, you know, putting people down. What's this about? Getting right with God. Getting right with God. When I was a kid, I mean, I know everybody's all freaked out about marijuana being legalized, but the fact is it's been legalized in Denver forever, Boulder forever. I've been able to get it all my life. I could get it from the sergeant that actually worked for the sheriff's department. Now, I'm not putting any of those people down. I'm just simply saying, revival is people getting right with God. And when revival really comes, it changes a society. It changes a community. It changes people completely. And people tell the truth, and people get right, and they get honest, and they get sincere, and they get vulnerable and transparent. And they say the facts, the truth. He ground it to powder, scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord, the quarters where women did weaving in the Asherah. I want to point out to you also the messages and a revival that is actually brought about to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Everybody wants to take a look at, you know, Revelation. They want to figure out the apocalypse and all that kind of stuff, the end times and so on and so forth. But the first actual three chapters you need to read to understand that the church needs to get itself straight, or else the Lord takes a light out. So if 34% of the people are gone, what's going on? What's going on? Now, you know, I'm just going to tell you straight up, and this is the way I am. Shoot me, burn me, kill me, cut me. I am not going to give up on my God. Amen. Period. Not because I'm so great, not because I'm so wonderful. I'm just one goofy little guy. Hello? Can I get an amen? Come on, don't be afraid. It's all right. But I believe in Jesus Christ. And if you have any idea of the fights I've fought with myself and with the status quo, but I'm never giving up. You know who my hero is? A teenager in Columbine who, when a gun to her face, was asked the question, do you believe in Jesus? She said yes, and she was murdered that day. Look, I understand mental illness. I got it. But evil is evil. In Revelations, it says, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, what does it say? Repent. This is the book of Revelation. What year was the book of Revelation written? Anybody know? Yeah, somewhere around, probably around 90, 100, 80. Okay, who wrote the book of Revelation?
John.
And he was telling the church that the Lord gave him a message, just like he gave to Jonah, just like he gave to Hezekiah, just like he gave to Josiah, just like he's given to us today. Repent. Do the things you did at first. This is real easy for me to understand, okay? Every Thursday night, I show up with a group of people to do one thing. Well, two things. One is to eat. Hello? You guys eat? Okay, so say amen or something. I mean, don't leave me up here like I'm some kind of goofball. If I hold you to 1 o'clock, I'll find out whether you eat or not. But the bottom line is that I show up also to do one thing. Okay, group that's here. What is that one thing? I'm sorry? Share lives together and to make sure I'm treating Pam right. She gets to complain right there. Openly. Amen? And over the years, has Pam ever brought up stuff? Oh, yeah. She's wrong, but that's okay. It's fine. Now, look, you know, sometimes I just got to repent. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Verse 14 of chapter 3, to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. The ruler of God's creation. Just think about that one phrase. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. What happens when you refine gold? You take the dross off. You take the dross off, okay? And if it wasn't for lawyers, it would say 100%, but they got lawyers, and so you got to say 99.9. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes To wear, to cover your nakedness, so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Amen? Amen. My dad used to say, I'm only doing this because I love you. Took me a long time to figure that out. I was like, man, let me love you a little bit. I did once, and ooh, that didn't go well. But the bottom line is those I rebuke and discipline, I love them. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just so you know, those of us who follow Jesus Christ and believe him to the end are destined to the throne. Destined to the throne. You're not headed for cheap seats. You're headed for the actual box seats. Destined for the throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. So you may not know this, but the meaning of that passage actually escaped me for a long time, partly because I was kind of counseled wrong in it. And the idea was that, you know, God would rather you be an unbeliever or a believer, but not in between. But that's not actually what it's saying. He's saying, actually, I'd rather you be cold water or hot water. Okay? So you guys go to this, you know, out to eat, and what are you going to order? Hot coffee or cold drink? How many of you actually get lukewarm water? Yeah, I do. So, Katie, I'm with you. Jackie, all right. I don't know. We're weird. But the bottom line is most people actually get what? Hot or cold. And that's the point. Because, you see, Laodicea had no water. But it was a short distance from two towns, one a hot springs, the other one a cold springs. And they brought water to Laodicea. Now, if they brought hot water, when it got to Laodicea, what was it? And if they brought cold water from Laodicea, what was it?
Lukewarm.
Lukewarm. And so the Lord's actually saying, I wish you were beneficial. I wish you were real. I wish that you would make a difference. That's what he's saying. I love this little book. Our folks on Monday night found it. I don't know where they found it, but I've been in love with it ever since because it's an inventory. An inventory. To be able to take a look at ourselves. Notice the verses that are there. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Let us examine our ways. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet. But then inside, it asks these basic questions. How am I feeling today? What did I do right today? What did I do wrong today? Do I owe anyone an amends? Do I need to offer forgiveness to anyone? When was the last time you forgave somebody? When was the last time you asked for forgiveness? This is an inventory. You ought to think about it. My wife needed boots because we live in dirt now. Things are not concrete and pavement. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me? Yeah. All right. So you got to be careful, you know, walk around in dirt. Then you go in the house and what? Yeah. So that's why they got mud rooms and stuff like that, which we don't have a mud room. We got a really nice little porch. But the bottom line is I need to get Pamela some boots because she's using her fancy shoes to go out there in the dirt. I'm like, honey, they're not even comfortable. So I took her to get some boots. I'm at Walmart, North Walmart. And I grab one of the boots to look and say, hey, would you like this one? You know, I think it might be your size, so on and so forth. And guess what was in there? That note. I know you can't read it. It says, give all your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you, Psalm 55:22. How'd that get there? Sam Walton from the grave put that in there. By the way, Sam would have done something like that. And what I want you to understand is this. Revival. Do the things that we were called to do. Live our lives for Jesus Christ. Take the saying off the money and put it in our hearts. In God we trust. In God we trust. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. As we sing this song, if there's something that you need to do, I'd be glad to have you come and do it. But my friends, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who follows the Lord will be guided. Anyone who trusts in the Lord will not be disappointed. And so you decide as we sing.